to our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. We're happy to have all of you with us, and we have a very a good show planned for you tonight. We'll start out first with passing the talking stick to our dear Angel Sue, who will set the tone and get us started off with some good energy. So, Angel Sue, I pass the talking stick to you.
Thank you, Marita Roberts. And good evening, Stargate Roundtable people. We welcome you in the light of the most radiant one and in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ. And we are invoking the loving energies of Saint Germain and the Violet Flame. And if you will claim yourself again as the beloved child that you are, child of God, Goddess, all there is. And with this, welcome in your higher self and your beloved twin flame, your guides, your masters, your teachers, your angels, your councils of light, and all those from the lighted realms that celebrate your path here, just for you being here now. And I'm just asking that you allow each breath with your intention to bring in wonderful, unconditional divine love and share gratitude with the out-breath. Set your intention. And now let's do our count of three with the in-breath. Hold it for a count of three. Excuse me. Count of ten. And ten on the in, ten hold, ten release. And we'll do that three times. I'll mute out so we can just really get centered in. Thank you for doing that. Now think about your day. Think about all the concerns and situations that you're aware of going on in your life. And look on the inside and see how that's reflected. Find what needs to be celebrated and what needs to be harmonized, what can be released. And just from the top of your head down to the bottom of your toes. And now, just spin that energy with a burst of light. We've been doing praise, respect, thanks, and love. You can do that as well, this time as well. But just pulsing light through your body. Call it from the great central sun. Call it from Mother Earth, this light. And just pulse. And receive, as the light comes flooding back in, the perfect thing for you. Flash it like a flashbulb, and your body lights up enough that it, in a dark room, it would be a strobe. Let all of that flash out and flood in more light. And with this now, we're just going to call that this be perfected with, through our intention and through our divine request, that we continue to be calibrated throughout this weekend, starting now on a Thursday night with Stargate intentions and protocols. Not the normal just call, but just bring things in that the path is divinely guided. Now with the peace breath, we're going to call a memory up of when you have felt your very finest, your best, your most amazing in-body experience. Take a good breath in. And somewhere on the out-breath, say the word peace and remember. good feeling, that beautiful situation. Let it anchor in even deeper within your body. Intend that this be maintained and perfected for as long as you're needing this support of feeling good. Peace. Now move your thoughts to the people you claim in your life. Your family, your friends, your associates. Think about what you're aware of that's going on our planet. The places, the situations, the conditions, the beings, the dimensions, the kingdoms. Inside the planet, upon the planet, around the planet. Spread your awareness for Nasara Nasera, the Reformation Act. Hold the energy for the white hats and the black hats. All those that are going through this with us together. As we're calling in a new paradigm. So for our Faction 3 White Knights and Galactic Forces of Light, we're ready to celebrate this new day. Heaven on Earth now. So in this instant, we're going to praise, respect, thank, and love everything with that unconditional divine neutrality. We're going to pulse that as well. Just flash that for all the beings throughout the planet. And call in that great central sunlight and center of Mother Earth light. Keep on flashing it. Let's just keep on clicking like we're in a photo shoot. Click, click, click. That flashing light throughout the planet, out into all of creation. And with this, now we will call in the perfect, happy, divine solution for our lives, for ourselves, for our intentions, and for all beings that yearn to live this life as the being that they truly are. So, with the law of one, we're calling in all the beings known and unknown, seen and unseen, throughout this dimension and all others, all time and space. And we're ready to celebrate our at-one-ment, for we are all one. And when one is harmed, then all are harmed. As one is helped, then all are helped. Therefore, in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, we ask that only the highest good of all concerned happen here, ourselves, and for all other beings, and we call upon the beings that can perfect this and bring it into more beauty, and more strength, and more harmony, and love, and peace, and heaven. All the good things beyond our understanding. That this happened 24/7, now and forevermore. And we're going to say, do a good job. We love you, we thank you, we bless you, we respect you, and we honor you, and we cherish you all. We are all one, and so it is. We'll close now by saying all men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation. We are all one. Bless you all. I pass the talking stick, Marie to Robert, back to you.
Well, thank you so much, Angel Sue. We appreciate you getting us started for this evening. And we hope that you are experiencing good health and feeling better. Caroline, are you on the phone, and can you hear us okay?
I hear you just fine. Thank you.
Good.
Rita. I'll take that talking stick.
All right.
Okay, so today we are a blue cosmic eagle. This is the 13th day of the waves, so we're completing the waves of Akbal, the night. And we're doing that with this eagle energy, this visionary cosmic energy. That cosmic is that 13, that transition energy, universal movement of change.
And Carolyn, so I'm going to interrupt you because I didn't really tell people, if we have new people on here that don't know what we're doing. I pass this talking stick to Carolyn because she's going to help us understand the energies that are here when we're using the Mayan calendar. So I didn't give you a very good introduction, but I thought maybe we should say what is that you're talking about.
Okay, so we're talking about this Mayan calendar, and we're walking through this matrix we call the Dzogchen, and sometimes it's called the Maya. So here it is. It's a 260-day cycle, and we're on day number 95 in this cycle, and we're completing a wave, and we call this the wave of the Zivuya. As we surf the Zivuya, we are going through each wave. A wave is a cycle from 1 to 13 in the sacred tones that we travel through. And so each wave has its own energy that it carries with it. And we're completing the wave of Akbal today with the number 13, that sacred tone 13, which is that it's about transcending, and it's the universal movement of change. So we're taking a cosmic leap here, or a quantum leap in any case. And so sometimes opportunities for change are hidden or unseen. But here there is a holographic evolution into change. And so we have this energy today, and we work with that eagle energy, the solar flip of the day. And this eagle energy is a visionary aspect. It's one of the 20 solar glyphs. And so we get that visionary aspect from the eagle, that seeing that big picture. And it's about our commitment to service. This is what our task is with this energy, and moving consciousness to source, and reconnecting with all creation. And our gifts that come with this energy are independence and our belief in self. And what we surrender with this energy are feelings of despair and dissociation and the illusion of separateness. So let go of all those things. So here we are with that good eagle energy, and a good way to send off this wave of the night, this work with our abundance that we've done. And tomorrow we start a new wave, and it is the wave of seed, the warrior. This is a wave where we will model our integrity and our impeccability as we work with this warrior energy. And this is about trusting in our journey and being aware of right action and bring awareness to right action. And about we have the gifts of communicating with the divine and accessing cosmic consciousness with this energy. So it's a time to let go of limitation and restriction and hesitation. So as we describe someone who is a seed warrior energy, we say that they are the servant warrior for galactic humankind. And inner voice is one of divine communication. And my teacher is speaking, the God and Goddess open to receive direct transmission from the universe. You easily tap into the collective cosmic consciousness. Your shield of protection is actually a conduit between the world's reality and the source of all that is. The seen and the unseen are your playing fields. Trust in your journey. It is the journey to awaken all of humankind. Remember that you are a spiritual warrior, not a military soldier. You are the spider which connects to the royal grid, crystal grid work. Excuse me. I'm going to say that again. You are the spider which connects to the crystal grid work of our knowledge of what we are to do now. And those are those words from my teacher, and I just wanted to share those with you about C. So we have a concept of what this energy is bringing us that we will go through for the next 13 days with these energies playing with us. And so tomorrow, the first day of sleep, and then on Saturday, we have a portal day, and it is a two, at that polarity tone of two, and it is a bond to Earth. So on Saturday, go out into nature and be with nature. Nature, be that keeper of the Earth, and be aware of Earth's energy, and spend some sacred time with her. Make an offering. Take some cornmeal with you. Make an offering to the spirits of the land. And make that connection. We have access to planetary harmony. And we are the balancing point. So keep that in mind, and your gifts of intuition will be very high as well. So work with your intuition and telepathy with the spirits of the land. Listen to what they have to say. It's a good time to let go of separation and failure to redesign and dissociation. So it's as a portal day, that means it's extra dimensionality. You have access to higher dimensions and higher galactic information on portal day. So spend some time. And spend some time with that energy on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we move it right along. It's a three-tone, an S-knob, the mirror, or it's also a cutting tool. Good time to do a cutting ceremony and let go of what no longer serves you. S-knob is the mirror. It's another way of seeing ourselves, isn't it? It's a good way to see ourselves. So see ourselves and others in our lives, and pay attention to that three tone that is assisting us on Sunday at activation, electric tone. And then on Monday we have Kowak, the storm, is the solar cliff with the four energy that self-existing four, and that Kowak storm energy is about lighting clear thoughts. It's about making those big changes. And so that's on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we have So we're completing this 10th unial. The 20 days is called a unial. And this is the 10th one in the Zolk'in. And so we complete that on Tuesday with that five energy and that centered movement energy. It's an overtone. It's a harmonic. And so that's the energy on Tuesday with a howl. That's the completion and the rising to Christ consciousness. It's the zero glyph or the 20th glyph, however you want to look at that. And so there's definitely movement with that. And then on Wednesday, we begin a new union. So with Yimish being the first solar glyph, I was going around that circle and starting the 11th union, which is one about, that 11 energy is about letting go of what no longer serves us. So we have that energy with the whole union. And then six Yimish, that six energy of rhythmic movement, and Yimish, the mother, the dragon, and the beginning, the unity, consciousness, all of that mother energy. It's Wednesday, and then on Thursday when we come back, it's a 7. That tone of resonance and that midpoint, that top of the mountain play and magic play, a 7. And that speak the wind. So listen to the voices of our ancestors, and the voices of the wind. That the wind brings us on Thursday. That's when we come back. So we'll talk about that some more when we're there. And so there you go. That's the Mayan week in review. And or ahead of us, not in review at all. What to expect, those energies. And so enjoy it. It's all supportive of unity consciousness and embracing on Saturday the earth energies and working with that the new wave of seed as we finish up this wave of off-ball, that warrior energy. And so there you go. I pass the talking stick right back to you.
Well, we thank you so much. Did you reset your Sunday meeting again, or I knew you had had to change?
Yeah, I did. No, I haven't set it again. I haven't been plugged into that system of trying to figure out what to do.
Okay. I wanted to make sure we announced that if you had it figured out. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for reminding me of that.
Okay. Well, we will. Right now, I'll just mention to you that the second hour, Omina, who's been our guest here many times, is bringing a guest tonight. And so she will be in charge of interviewing her. And Kathy, you've been always with us. Do you have anything you want to say before I pass the talking stick to Taran Rama?
Oh, thank you, Marita Robert. No, I am sitting down waiting for Taran Rama. Just let's hear what's going on out there in this big, wide world of ours.
Okay. Well, Taran Rama, tell us who you've been talking to and what you're hearing and what we might need to know to stay sane.
Oh, my fern whiskers.
Hopefully it's not too late. Dear. Oh, can you pull that wire stuck, Rama? Sorry, everybody. I'm just going to say that Nada is furious with Bonky Moon. And yesterday she called up Rama and she told him that she went into Bonky Moon's office and she slammed the door behind her.
Yes,
and she just looked at him and she said, "You're going to listen to me now." And she's got all kinds of goods on him. You remember, she's still the special lawyer of the International Court of Justice. And this guy is involved with bribery and embezzlements and probably dead people of all kinds. So anyway, I don't know what his brother Sun Young Moon is up
to. Yeah, Reverend Sun Young Moon, the Moonies that used to see at the airport. And that is a whole nother story that goes right into North Korea, Mr. Kim. An asset of our CIA.
But what does Sun Young Moon have to do with that guy?
He used to be a former colonel in the Korean Army.
The North Korean?
Yes.
And so he's not doing that anymore.
You know, say.
Denny Hastert's going to plead guilty to the hush money allegations.
Yeah, because this leads right into the stories of the children on the milk cartons that have disappeared.
Ooh.
And it goes deeper than that, all across our local galaxy, where many life forms have disappeared. But
wife of jailed CIA officer asks for clemency. That the black man.
Yeah, that was Amy.
He was a good whistleblower, see, and they... He wrote a book, and inside the book he disclosed what the C blank A, which are most of them are all naughty, that was classified information, or in other words, someone that told him something he revealed in his book. So he's spending a very long time in jail, and yet the question's been asked over and over again that, why is it that all the whistleblowers go to jail and nobody finds out what really happened and what did our CIA really do, you know, which has nothing to do with the price of eggs these days, you know.
No, it's all just a very, very large black hole that goes to the realm that people only kind of go into, like George Nuri and Michael Salia and other folks that are willing to go there through, you know, the rabbit hole.
Thing is that to go back to Nada, she said that you will, to Monkey Moon, you will have a call an emergency meeting at the General Assembly and the National Security Council. And you are going to openly state that the UN peacekeepers need to arrest Netanyahu for war crimes and crimes against humanity.
Yes.
And they need to do it now.
Yes. He has threatened to blow up the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah, he has.
And that's
and today,
a big deal.
Today he was big and blunderous and blusterous and said that's just a big old lie. Netanyahu said that.
Yeah, and what I know about the El Oscar Mosque, that is one of the major Stargate portals that goes across our galaxy, and it cannot be destroyed. It is a special metal, combination of metals, and you just cannot destroy that kind of thing. It's immortal, living being. And...
well, okay. Another piece of news is the European Union looks to Turkey to help solve the refugee crisis. They keep calling it the migrant crisis. They don't seem to get it at the moment. The difference, you know. Anyway, at a summit in Brussels, the EU leaders have been working on a plan for Ankara to help stem the flow of refugees before they travel to Europe. Yet what does Turkey want in return? They want a whole pile of money. And in the meantime, Erdogan is a complete war criminal.
Yeah.
And where they have the refugee space right now with 2 million refugees in there already is a disaster area. Mm. And not only that, it's closer to the border with Syria, and they're bombing over there. Who are they bombing? They're bombing the PKK. Well, and I forgot the other one. There's another one that they consider a terrorist.
Al-Nusra.
No. It's also a Kurdish operation consider terrorists.
Yeah.
They consider... I don't know, somebody shuffling around somewhere, typing or something. But anyway, what they're doing is they're killing their own citizens.
Yes,
that is a war crime.
It is.
And that Erdogan did what happened here with this bombing in Turkey, where it was a peace rally with hundreds of thousands of people, and as high as 128 people were killed by, you know, setting up some suicide bombers, two of them. And it was mostly Kurdish people and then activists that were aligned with the Kurds.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say that it just brings back a memory where Hillary Clinton was at this hearing for her emails and Benghazi and all of that stuff, and somehow the Republicans there, the Gowdy guy and all those folks sitting at that table, they brought up Turkey, and I just remember Hillary going, "Turkey? Like, what are you talking about? That's our ally." And I'm just sitting there with my eyes rolling because this is so unbelievably not so good. And Tom Hartman's in Europe, and Sachs has been taking over for him. And he went over in detail some of the things that Hillary was saying at the debate, where she was out and out lying.
Yeah.
And I just about the TPP. She called it directly, and he played the clips. And when she said she was just thinking it might be, you know, the golden egg, you know, the hen that laid the golden egg, that it was, I forgot the term, but she praised it, you know, up and down and sideways. And she didn't, she said she didn't do that, that what she did instead was she said she hoped that was true. And he played every clip where she lied about that. And Bernie Sanders was on Ellen DeGeneres today. It was totally
very cool.
Awesome. He came in dancing to that Travolta song.
Staying alive. Oh, my God.
It was so fun. It was hysterical. But and, of course, the other report is that the CNN were the only ones that played live the whole debate. And the thing is that they had these polls, and now people could vote who they thought were winning. And the results were 81% in favor of Bernie,
yep,
and 12% in favor of Hillary, and the rest were indecisive. And the CNN right now is owned by Time Warner Cable. And Time Warner Cable is, I don't know what their connection is behind them.
Well,
some big corporation. And anyway, the thing is that I can hear somebody talking and doing something. I'm not sure. But anyway, Sam Sachs said that Time Warner Cable is the seventh largest donor to Hillary Clinton. So that's why they were specifically chosen to play the debate. And then they completely blocked out the poll. You can't find it now.
Gone.
And they don't. And then they're saying on CNN that Hillary did a landslide and won by a landslide.
Right.
And overnight, Bernie Sanders received $2.3 million overnight since the debate. I'm just sitting here going, wow. And Bernie Sanders does not have a super PAC or anything.
No.
Even though we saw it on Al Jazeera that they said there was a super PAC and they named the character Chris somebody.
I remember.
What the
that.
Next day, yeah. Bernie said, no, I'm only taking what the rule is, 2,700 or less,
mm-hmm,
from each individual. That's it. So he completely refused it. And oh, okay. Thank you, Maria. And so what I am saying is that as quick as things are being said on our Western media, that quick it's being wiped off the map. It's being changed that fast. And everything is really, the door is wide open. And Bernie Sanders was the only one, as Sam Sachs said, that really answered the question, you know, when the question was put at the debate, what's the most important issue to tackle of all the issues? And everybody else named the budget, the debt, I don't know, all kinds of stuff, military, everything under the sun.
Right.
Bernie was the only one that said the most
gay
important
rights,
one thing.
Bought.
Yeah, the only thing, the most important thing is climate change. And
yes,
again, he went right in the face of her donors. All of Hillary's donors are involved with the fossil fuel. And then we've got, we're going to play another section of Dr.
Kesh
tonight. We played about an hour and a quarter on Saturday of the 27th, which is the 80th seminar. Yet that already the scientists that are engaged and connected at the hip with the fossil fuel industry are completely smashing Dr. Kesh.
Yeah, they're
and
putting,
laughing back at him.
Putting him in, you know, like it ain't going to work.
That they're just saying he's a dreamer, you know,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. Nonetheless, it's,
you know what John Lennon said about the dreamers.
Well, we've been reading a book about the dream time.
Oh.
And we're going to read another book about the dream time after this one. Buddha in Red Face is the one. And the nuclear holocaust and the ability to change it has to go to the dream time because it was created in the dream time by some very, you might say, egotistical shamans who knew how to do things, and then they did something that created from ego.
Maybe they were connected to the archons.
Well, there's now, this many years later, there's this amazing, he's very crippled, Native American from New Mexico. Mm. And this psychologist who was assigned to him, you know, in our sociologist, you know, in his social work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say it's building here, but it's almost at the completion now where they went through a 2-week process in a cave where all these paintings were put there back 40 years ago, and all the beings in the paintings resembled all the beings that were up there in the cave. It's focused through the viewpoint of this one psychologist, though. And he's waking up to his participation in that past dream time shaman ceremony, which created this. And he has been given this guidance all the way through. And now he's going to go in what they call the pit underneath Los Alamos, and he's going to disengage what was set up with the nuclear thing.
Yeah, I know about the pit from my friend Crazy Steve and Nicodemus, and you do not want to visit the pit.
See, when we realize that we're all in a dream, you know, nothing is other than what we create in the dream time. That's where the hard-nosed scientists don't go.
They are creating orcs there. That's, I put it simple.
Well, there's this another book that I'm thinking about reading next, and it's called Ancient Aliens in Australia, Pleiadian Origins of Humanity by Stephen Strong, Bruce Fenton, Evan Strong, and Daniela Fenton. And this is bringing the dream time together with hardcore science and finding that bridge again where it all comes together and creating the next steps in our evolution from being able to, you might step into the dream time and return to ancient Egypt and actually be there. And I'm just saying there are so many things, and then there's just this reopening of this archaeological museum that's been shut down for renovations since something like 2006. Mm-hmm. And they just reopened it today. This is in France, in Paris, France. And they have this dark room in there, and they've got all these skeletal heads and structures. And there's one that's 27,000 years old. And there are, again, this situation where not only scientists, but these shamans who have an ability to communicate to these different skulls, like the skull of the 27,000-year-old being was just
crystal skulls.
It was just an ordinary common man.
Know, but I'm...
But everybody's got a crystal skull.
Right.
And what I'm saying is that that what they're doing is they're in an ordinary circumstance where they would only contribute with the archaeological data and the science behind that. They're not doing that anymore. It's so exciting, everybody.
Yeah.
They're actually consulting from all these different realms, and there's communications, and then they go and they look in the science, and they find they can verify what the shaman is getting from being able to go into the dream time and communicate mm-hmm. with the being that was, that whose skull that was on the other side.
Yeah. So, that was my skull.
It is super exciting. And back to the Turkey thing. You cannot trust anybody in Turkey, and they're talking about transferring $3 billion for Turkey to keep the border so that they can improve the the quarters of the 2 million refugees and hold back and do more. In the meantime, you know, Tom the cat told Rama that the house of cards is in shovels. It's in this
disshovel. It has crumbled.
It has totally crumbled, and everything is just a dog and pony show that you don't realize.
And we are just looking at the remnants of this, you know, really, really bad holographic program coming to an end. And they want to play with all kinds of stuff out there. There's a story in The Intercept that Jeremy Scahill put out talking about the drone wars, and Glenn Greenwald created The Intercept. And I'll just say it again. It is the three-letter agencies that have no names that go all the way up to the Secret Space Command out there across our local sector of the galaxy. And it is not a pretty story. And at the same time, there are so many folks here. There are ships that are here over that were seen over China. And I do not believe that was the blue beam. I think those were real craft. And as we get in touch with the heart space, this is what Tom told me. Tom the cat. As you get into that ecstatic heart space, when you connect with those energies from looking at something like those large ships, it comes from a place of pure ecstasy and joy that cannot be manipulated from the machine world. I just need to say it in that way. They can't fake it. And if they try, it's full of holes. I just got to put it that way. It comes from that pure ecstatic, orgasmic joy level.
There's also this is a different subject again, but the snake bite reserves for bringing people back.
Snake venom. If you get bit by a rattlesnake, they're running out of the antidote.
Yes. And it'll be gone by 2016, somewhere in 2016, the anti-venom.
That's not so good.
Snake stuff. But all of this is because of what this Fourth Reich / conservative, which is another thing that's been said for many people. The word conservative does not exist in the biblical text anywhere. It is not an existing concept. And the humanity was created to be creative and to move forward into higher and higher awareness of vibrational patterns, not to conserve in the sense of limit their consciousness, which is what's going on here. It's a de-escalation program. It's
de-evolving.
De-evolutionary pattern, which is being represented. And the King of Swords and the White Knights and Tom the Cat and all the folks said that the Republican Party is going to be completely dissolved. It will not exist. It will cease to exist, and there's no dates. Yet the kinds of news and the kinds of moving forward that's going on at the same time is just amazing. We have a little bit of a glitch in the South China Sea. This highest rank Rear Admiral got up there today on NHK out of Japan and said that it's against international law for you to declare that the waters around your fake islands where they built up the soil and created these little places and then put three military landing strips on them, and they're claiming all these 12 nautical miles around all these islands as theirs, and that they could send out their military. And this guy got up there and he said, "We will bring our warships right through there, and you will not do anything because it's against international law." And I'm sitting there going, "Oh my God, that's going
raise
on."
The violent fire. ASTAR knows what to do.
What else is going on here? Oh, in Japan. Women are restricted up till now. There's a law in Japan. I just thought this was a very interesting story. Are restricted from remarrying for at least 6 months after divorce.
What?
And yet male divorcees do not face any such restrictions.
Hmm.
And so the Tokyo District Court is carrying the case that will consider how social change can be reflected in law. In Japan, the current civil law provision has left many children totally unregistered. They were born during their mother's prohibited period for remarriage. This 33-year-old woman wasn't officially registered for more than 30 years. She was born as her mom ran away from domestic violence within that six-month period. And they voiced her over so you can't understand, you know, her own true
sound.
Yeah,
she sounded like an E.T.
She did. She said, "I was disappointed because I had no opportunity to attend school whatsoever. As an adult, I had no social skills. I lacked confidence, and I used to be fearful about even stepping outside the door." The report says a current lawsuit in a similar case has opened a national debate over whether the law should be changed to better reflect this change in society. Japan's Supreme Court plans to hold a grand bench of all 15 judges in Japan. In November, the top court could make a decision by the end of this year. As Japan's society changes, so does our interpretation of what makes a family. As debate continues over the current civil law and whether it matches the way we live, and so they're starting to also include things like gay marriage in Japan. I'm just saying something all over, you can see the change. You know, changes we can believe in, as you might say.
Goddess has said, now it's my time.
Yes. And there's also been some, there's going to be a summit. And today, on Friday, Pakune, the president of South Korea, is going to be here on Friday to meet with Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there is also a summit that's going to be held. And the U.S. wants South Korea to improve their ties with Japan. And so that's another piece of the story. And the two leaders will discuss diplomacy on Friday between Japan and South Korea. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Daniel Russell, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State, said their relationship and their ability to cooperate is a strategic priority for the United States. U.S. National Security Council Senior Director Daniel Crittenbrink says North Korea will be a key topic at this working meeting. He says the United States will work with South Korea in dealing with the North missile and nuclear programs. The officials were speaking at a news conference in D.C. that was also attended by the United States Ambassador to South Korea, Mark Lippert. Russell dismissed concerns that Park's attendance at China's military parade last month was an indication that South Korea was moving too close to China. He said the event was... Whoops. Just for a second here, was rather an opportunity for South Korea to seek China's cooperation in dealing with a missile threat from Pyongyang. Okay, all in all, peace and love, everyone. The Sara now, it's very much, the changes are enormous. Stay happy and don't worry. And love to all. And pass this talkie stick back to you, Sister Marita.
Okay. I'm unmuted now, and I see that we have Omina with us. Can you say hello?
Hi there, everyone. How are you?
Well, we are happy to have you here, and we're happy to have you bring a guest for us for this evening. I'm not sure if we have Caroline on the line yet. Can you hear us, Caroline? Well, Omina, maybe you can go ahead and tell us a little bit about what your person's going to be talking about, and I'll see if I can make sure the station gets connected here.
Okay. Well, Carolina Oceana Rhine, she's an author, a channeler, and a speaker. She has channeled information from angels and spiritual guides since childhood. She currently channels information on Earth's humanity, ascension form, humanity's ascension form, a group of fifth and sixth dimensional beings known as the collective. Now on Amazon, she's a bestseller, The Ascension Manual, a light worker's guide to fifth dimensional living, as the first book of the Ascension Manual series. She has worked as a playwright, an actor, a copywriter, an editor, and has served as a community volunteer in New York City, London, and Belfast. Her first book, Adventures in Belfast, is about the Northern Ireland peace process and her own spiritual journey and the spiritual life of North of Ireland. She holds a master's in education and theology studies from Union Tech Theological Seminar in New York. The Collective Weekly, Messages to Lightworkers. Channeling can be found at www.carolinaoceanrhine.com /messages/lightworkers. And the Ascension Manual is available at the Kindle store. We have her online. Great.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you very well. We have been just talking about you. And I was just introducing you, going through all your accomplishments. And I was just about at the end part where you offer written channelings as well as live sessions for both groups and individuals, in which you channel the collective wisdom for individual challenges and questions related to ascension.
Yes.
Yes, and I also mentioned that your book is on Amazon, and I went through that you deal with the collective. Perhaps you could tell us what is known, the dimensional beings known as the collective. Do you have anything to say on that?
Well, as you mentioned, I've been channeling since I was a kid without really meaning to. And I was reading all of these channeled messages online and all these blogs, and I thought, this is really fascinating. You could sort of tell that there was so much channeling that it was obvious that the veil, the sort of, you know, roof, the ceiling between us and them, you might say, was just getting thinner and thinner. And so there was increasing connection, and I thought, well, with the higher, you know, the higher realms. And I thought maybe I could channel a group of angels or maybe even an archangel. And this was about a year and a half ago. And so I no sooner thought that than within a day, I felt inwardly sort of contacted by this group who I could sort of see in my mind's eye. They were dressed as sort of, you know, as you see people in those illustrations of people who work in the Ashtar command. They have somewhat, both the men and the women have sort of longer hair, and some seem to be humanoid, others, you know, other life forms. And they explained that they were under the Ashtar command, and they said, we have messages for light workers, which we would like you to take down and to share. And so I started, and the response has been quite amazing to the blog. I put out a weekly message to light workers. And then this past April, I put out a book that I channeled from them. They told me they wanted to do a book, so I did that. And the response to the book has been quite something. I never expected it. And a lot of more people are signing up for the website and getting the blogs. And when you sign up for the website, you get the first three, first three chapters of the book as a gift. And people are really powerfully resonating with it. And I think they're just mainly wanting to help us, you know, sort of create a bridge between living in the third dimension and all of our third dimensional concepts and expectations and all this limitation that we constantly live with. And they're wanting to bridge us from that place to fifth dimensional living, which is one of realizing that we are creators and we're in control of our lives and we're not at the mercy of unseen forces and we're not, you know, we're not victims and we can create our own abundance, etc.
Are there certain themes that repeat themselves? You know, certain things that you say to a lot of light workers that you would like everyone to know?
Well, they say, and I can bring them in and let them speak for themselves, but I can tell you that there's a lot of people asking about their twin flame, asking about health concerns, asking, am I on the right track with my life work? A lot about relationships. I'm almost surprised it's not more about money, but a great deal of it is about relationships.
Well, I think it's because people realize money doesn't keep the relationships together anymore.
Exactly right. Exactly right. But if you'd like me to take a moment, I can bring them in and they can answer these questions for themselves if you'd like.
Okay, absolutely. We would love to. I might have a few myself to ask them.
I have to encourage everybody who hasn't had a session with Omina yet, you must do it because it's just mind-blowing, the stuff you'll learn. It's just, she's just amazing. But anyway, all right. So
thank you very much.
Certainly. What I do is I ask Divine Mother to be present with us and let her loving presence be felt. Namaste, Mother. And then I ask Archangel Michael to be present with the blue light of his sword so that only truth is spoken. Namaste, Lord. And then I ask the collective to come in.
Okay.
Well, greetings, friends, and we are most honored to be here. And how may we serve you?
We are most honored to have you here. And one of the things I want to know, what are the biggest blocks and obstacles facing light workers and people in general in their ascension journey?
Well, most assuredly, the moment you say blocks and obstacles, the first term that appears to us would be ego, and closely related to that would be fear. And you have seen many times many people reaching toward ascension, reaching toward all forms of spiritual growth, but they are slowed by several things. And one of those is the fog that they live in, and that fog is basically one of fear. And they lack trust. They lack trust in their higher selves. They lack trust in the divine plan, which is not a set blueprint for their lives, but which is a construct, a divine construct, with it, which ensures that they have constant access to the higher realms, to their guides and their angels, to their higher self, their soul. And so there is a construct there which constantly protects them, but which they live somewhat in denial of, because they have been informed since the time of their birth that they cannot move forward in life unless they take certain outer action or take on certain attitudes, attitude being a very great word that is used in modern life. And the fact of that is that most outer action is based on the need for protection, the need for ensuring that one is taken care of and that one's family is taken care of financially or emotionally or physically. And so much effort is spent in shoring up all sorts of protection and shelter and not exactly guarantees, but the illusion of a guarantee of safety in the world. And we would say that this third dimensional paradigm is quickly fading. And you see evidence of this in the words, as the Lady Master and Lord Rama have been saying, that the U.S. economy is facing a no-cash moment in early November. And this is actually quite a beautiful symbol and not something to be feared. Because what is happening is that the old regime and the old paradigm of the third dimension, which is based upon the illusion of lack and scarcity, the belief in the necessity of competition, all of that now is fading. All of that is simply dissolving and disintegrating. And yes, it can be rather frightening to think in terms of, well, what about my family and what about my own livelihood and what about my job and how will I pay my rent or mortgage? But understand that if we can move past, and I say we, meaning all of us, all of you and all of your collective friends and family, if we can simply push past this momentary initial response, fearful response, we will see that there is an ending potential which is beyond the symbol of loss of money or loss of economic stability. And that unending potential is in a way encapsulated in the Nisarga law, but far more greatly encapsulated in the understanding, the increasing understanding of light workers now, that you are creators and that you are, as our writer says, in charge of your life and not at not a victim of circumstance so much as you have been taught. You have been taught all forms of disempowerment. And this very much aided the agenda of your overlords as they once were. But this idea is fading now. And so this is a moment of powerful potential for complete empowerment of the human race. And so the question is, will you step up? Will you be ready to help to create this new structure, this new paradigm, which is a matter of fifth dimensional living, which is a release of scarcity and competition, which is a release of struggle and the hard work belief? Or will you succumb to fear? And so the question then becomes something for each individual as well as for the entire group.
What can we do as workers, help people to shift the paradigm shift in the brain? In other words, it seems to me that the human brain is evolving and the old one is disintegrating. But on an everyday level, what can we do to help people with their fear so that they can change and so that they can accept the new paradigm shift?
At the base of what you request is an image of each person as being physical only in the illusionary sense. What all of us are, of course, is energy and light and love. And if we can begin to see ourselves this way, and it is only the heart that truly understands this, if we can move the mind from where we think it is in the brain and understand truly it is centered in the heart, then we begin to live entirely differently. And this means living from the intuition rather than from the old programs, from the old expectations and the old negative paradigms and expectations of struggle and need for survival, into believing and understanding that abundance is everywhere around us. And so it is a movement into the heart. And to listen to one's intuition, to begin to honor what is called the gut feeling, and to begin to honor what are the intuitive nudges and the unspoken feelings, the unspoken gut feelings throughout the day. This is a move into the heart, even if it seems rather odd at times. And people, you will have heard people say, it isn't logical, but I feel I should take this job, even though it doesn't pay as well as this one. Or I don't know why, but I'm far more drawn to date this person rather than this other one who seems to earn more and is more obviously attractive. And that is because the heart has spoken its truth and the person is hearing, because the intuition can move out into the future, can see the possibilities, can see the new constructs that the logical mind has not yet gathered, and it will be moving on that reality and taking in that truth. And this is actually the opposite of what human beings have been taught, but they are fully, fully capable of listening to the heart. And so we would say as light workers, encourage everyone you know to listen to their intuition, to trust that, to trust the feelings of the heart and the tugs of the heart and the gut feelings, regardless of what they are hearing in the mass media, regardless of what they have been taught, because all of those old lies and illusions are fading away and they will not serve anyone any longer.
Okay. Are you willing, the collective, are you willing to take calls from participants that are listening to the show?
Most assuredly.
Okay, so Marita, you can get, if people are on there, you most certainly can bring them on while we're talking.
Okay, and we need to, if you wish to call in, the there is a toll-free line for the United States and Canada, and this is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. And so we'll be glad to take questions and if you'd like to call in. And welcome, Caroline. We are so happy to have you here and that Omina has found you and brought you to our show. So
our writer is most honored to be here. And she thanks you.
Okay, so let me ask you, would people have to ask the collective, and would you be able to send energies to help people with problems such as worrying about finances or health or addiction to food or chemical substance or even addiction to people for that matter? How would a person go about getting that help from you?
Yes, this is a central point of our work. This is our central focus. It is the energies that we are transmitting. The ideas are helpful, and many have responded positively, and that is wonderful. But we speak not primarily to the logical mind, but to the heart and to the etheric body, which has its own sensibility.
Okay, that's really good. Now, for my own ignorance, could you tell me the galactic presence? Because I have my own idea what that may be, but I would like to hear from you. Enlighten me about galactic presence.
It is perhaps more astounding and more far-reaching than what most human beings are able to conceive of at present, but there are many millions of different races and, in fact, many trillions of starships now circling or stationed above and all around the Earth. And this is because no one wants to miss what the dear, now transitioned Lady Master Dolores Cannon called the greatest show on Earth. And our writer likes to rephrase it, the greatest show in the universe, because this is a third dimensional planet moving up in its physicality, retaining its physicality, as are its human beings and its animals and all life forms moving up into the fifth dimension while still retaining its physicality. And this is a great and miraculous moment. And this is not something which has been done before in this universe, and it is not to be missed, one might say. But there are all certain forms, all sorts of forms, many life forms. Some are merely light. Some appear as geometric symbols or shapes. Some are pure essence. Some come across far more as color or sound or vibration. And others look very like any human. And you may have walked past one or two on the street and considered that there was no difference there. That this was simply someone who is any person that you might have met and not blinked. And yet they are someone from perhaps Pleiades or somewhere in the Orion belt or somewhere in, perhaps from Lyra or Venus or many, many different places. And they are here to cheer all of you on. We cannot do this job for you. And yet we are participating because as you lift your own vibrations, ours are lifting as well. And we send you what light and love and encouragement we can without violation of our directive and within the construct of the role and the place of the Ashtar Command. And all those around likewise must follow certain universal laws. And yet we are constantly with you in spirit. And so we do as we can, and yet we do not do for you. This is your moment of empowerment. We would not take this from you for anything.
So there,
I see
the
we
words.
Do have a caller. Charlene is on line one. What is your question, Charlene?
Hi, thank you very much for taking my phone call. I have probably a two-part question. Does the collective believe that the humans have souls, which is should be an easy answer, I think. But I'm really wondering also, does the collective, are they aware of or have knowledge of what some call the Council of Elders?
Well, greetings, friend. Most assuredly, all humans have souls unless they have detached entirely from them, which is a possibility. And sometimes what appears to be a human is, in fact, a human-made construct, or what you might call a clone, and there are other forms similar. But in its original form, each life form has a soul essence and springs from that essence. And even that which you would call a rock, assuming that it has no sentience whatever, has a soul. And there is always forward movement. There is always progression. Sometimes a soul or an entity must be pushed forward a bit if it wishes to stay the same, because nothing in this universe can stay the same. The nature of it is constant flow and forward movement. Now, the Council of Elders understand that human beings in their channelings are given certain phrases and certain names so that you are able to locate mentally and emotionally a reality which, in fact, may have an entirely different name, one unpronounceable to you, or one which is merely color or light or vibration, and in another sense, one that you may locate mentally and emotionally in a cultural sense. And the council that, if we are understanding you, the council that most refer to exists in the current, the current fifth dimensional and fifth sixth dimensional existence. And in that realm, there are those who have volunteered to come forward and to serve as wise elders, and they somewhat consult with those who are incarnating upon the earth, and they look at the design, the certain elements and details, who the parents will be and where the person is chosen to be born and the era in which they have chosen to be born. And they will look this over and discuss this with the person and perhaps offer some suggestions and perhaps some warnings, not threats, but warnings, if the designated ascent appears to be far too steep and too difficult. And so they are in a consulting position, one might say, but they do not determine. They offer their wisdom, but they do not determine one's path. That is up to the individual. And there is a degree to which there are strictures upon the amount of soul growth that could be attained in a conscious way in the earth life, in the third dimensional paradigm. But the technologies and the old structures preventing mass consciousness awakening are increasingly dissolving now. And so ascension is not only possible, but it is, the potential is very, very powerful for millions now, millions of people.
Well, thank you. That was
excellent.
That was
cool. Thank you so much.
Most assuredly, friend. Namaste.
My question for the collective is, unless somebody else is calling in, that people will come to a place that they can ascend, their soul can ascend while they're still walking on the earth?
Almost assuredly. This is the miracle. This is the miracle that you are seeing. And in the past, many centuries ago, you would call them ascended masters, and they would be a very, very few, only a handful of people upon the earth in any one era.
You answered the galactic presence for me greatly, because you already confirmed what I felt, that there was many different souls, only because I'm a soul historian, and when I talk to people, they often want to know where their soul is from. Now yes. That you've confirmed my feelings about it all, I'm grateful. Thank you very much.
Most assuredly, friend.
And we have another caller, Glenda. Can you hear us now, Glenda?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can. Yes. What is your question?
Well, I have an eating disorder, and I could use some help, please.
Well, we will send you energies for this, and we are sending those energies mainly to the heart region. And as
okay,
well to the neurological and central nervous system, because there is a bit of perhaps a chemical imbalance there. And so we would ask, do you feel very drawn to sugar? Do you feel extremely drawn to sugar to the extent that you cannot get through your day without it?
Yes.
And of course, that is slightly a foolish question because in the modern world, that describes most people. But we would say in your case that much would be righted on a neurological and a chemical level. And of course, we do not pretend to be medical professionals. And you can only take this with a huge grain of salt and only take what seems to resonate with you inwardly. But we would say to remove that dangerous chemical from your diet and to remove as much as possible caffeine and all false foods, all food products would very, very greatly aid this addiction that you have been enthralled with, you have been caught in. And it is a trap, and it is a trap that many millions experience. We send energies to the heart as well, because you began with the eating to begin with out of fear and somewhat as a, almost as it, was there someone in the household who drank? That seems to be, have been almost a palliative, a sort of, something which you were seeking nurturing from it. You were seeking to hide. You were seeking to not be afraid anymore. And so the food gave you that. And again, it gives this, in an illusory way, it seems to give that to many millions. We will say that to receive counseling for the things that make you afraid and for the things that hold you caught in this compulsion could be an extremely helpful thing for you. And have you sought counseling in the past?
No, I have not.
We would say that there are stories which must come out, and they were stories of a young child, and they must come out, and some of them are perhaps past life memories. Many millions now, who are, particularly all who are ascending, are dealing with the trauma and the shock and the pain and the losses of past lives. They are coming to the surface, and they are requiring healing. They are requiring that you accept them and heal them and find a way to release the trauma, retaining the wisdom of the experience, but not retaining the density of the pain and the shock. And so there are a number of reasons why you are seeking to release this feeling, this sadness, both grief and feelings of loss and feelings of anger. And again, this is not unusual. But if you will try to make that change, make it slowly at first if you wish, but we would powerfully suggest, please, that you speak with a counselor, that you get in touch with a support group, because to do this alone, we can tell you the compulsion at the moment is larger than you, and it will continue to run you quite happily. And do not blame yourself, and do not consider that this is a matter for shame or guilt. It is, in fact, a very beautiful process, a very beautiful soul awakening and a soul opening process, but the chemicals themselves are wreaking havoc on your system. And so we would say seek help just as you would if you saw that you were drinking or taking drugs far too often. It is the same. It is entirely the same. And this sounds desperately harsh. It is not your fault that the modern world is chock full of dangerous food products, and it is not your fault that you have been brainwashed since the cradle to be addicted to these foods. But a sensitive person in particular will be quite susceptible. And it is a matter of dulling the reflexes, dulling the reactions, so that things are not quite so painful. And so get that pain out, get that child's voice out where you can hear it. And do this quickly.
Can I add something?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, she's
most
gone.
Definitely. Yeah. We would greatly appreciate our Lady Master's input. Yes.
Is the lady still there?
Yes.
Glenda?
Yes.
What's her name?
Glenda.
Glenda, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I add something?
Yes.
Can I give you information on your core issue that might help you with all the information you received?
Yes, please.
Okay, if you decide to go for counseling, would you deal with your fear of abandonment?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. If you deal with your fear of abandonment, you're going to find the journey a lot easier to deal with the addiction.
Yes.
I'm just suggesting that.
Okay.
Most assuredly. Most assuredly. Because the parents were not there as they should have been. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Lady and Master.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenda. And Sister Marita, you may call me if you want to also.
Okay. Thank you, Maria. Bye-bye.
All right. Caroline, let's give your contact information, your website, and those kinds of things so that after the call, people can find your book and find you if they wish to connect.
Most assuredly. And that is CarolineOceanaRyan.com. And one may also write to AscensionTimes@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Okay, so let me get back to the manual and also back to your book. And also I want to ask you about, I think you've nearly answered all of our questions.
Let me interrupt there. She gave email, and most people do have that, but is there a phone number, or do you only connect with people by email?
Yes, email is preferred. Our writer does prefer the email. So ascensiontimes@gmail.com, yes.
Okay.
Okay, they can request your services through your email.
Most assuredly, yes.
Yes, I understand that myself. I'm better at tracking email than I am at phone calls.
Yes, this is so.
I wanted to ask you about people being impatient for the big change to happen, for the full disclosure about the galactic process and the full enhancement of NESARA. What's NESARA for people that may not know?
Most assuredly. Well, people, many, many light workers, you will see them online commenting, why has NESARA not been enacted yet? And when will they finally come clean with full disclosure about the ET presence, etc.? And we wish to explain NESARA, NESARA, is the National Economic Security and Reformation Act. And it was created in the 90s by some very fine folk, such as the Representative Maxine Waters and even your present president, Barack Obama, and many others who are fine and trusted politicians who are honest folk and who are obviously under constant protection physically as well as in terms of their careers, or the dark ones would have moved them out by now. And the provisions of this are very clearly stated. If one wishes to go to the 2013 rainbowroundtable.ning.com website and look at where the tab says NESARA, and there are quite amazing provisions. And what this is a sort of reinstatement of that vision which Saint Germain had for the United States just as that country was beginning, and unfortunately that vision was dashed to the ground on many levels. Now, you note it wasn't completely disintegrated, but what he saw was a state in which there would be no wage tax, and NESARA would provide for that, a state in which all were treated fairly, in which there would be no wage slaves or wage slaves, because even though now you have no obvious slaves, you still have wage slaves, and you still have many incarcerated, and they are used as slaves in their labor. And he saw a land in which there will be no illegal wars, there would be no connections to the Crown of England. In other words, there would only be elected representatives who were, as they say, common folk, and would not be controlled by the old power structure and the old power crowd, as our writer calls them. And this would be truly a land of the free, and there would not be borders in the sense of people being kept out or lies being told regarding scarcity of resources and, oh, we must fight this war and we must be careful of our borders and do this and say this because, well, we must constantly protect ourselves and we must slaughter the indigenous folk and because they are heathen and they are low. What he envisioned was rather the opposite of all of that. He saw true freedom, and he saw the soul of each human being free to express itself through the human life on this level, on this third dimensional level. And this is actually fifth dimensional living that he foresaw. And as you can see, humankind was not yet ready. But the birth of NESARA indicates that, yes, now you are ready, but you must step up insist upon its enactment, as the Lady Master said in the call the other day. Tell your politicians, enact Nisara now, and be clear of what you require and use the strength of your voices. You have been told that you are the disempowered majority, and this is completely untrue. That need not be the case if you decide it is not the case. And so this reality is yours to mold, and that is what Nisara will finally light up the way for. There is enough money for each person, each child, woman, and man upon the earth to be a millionaire. And this will free up those resources, and many of those resources have been carefully kept to one side so that they are not under the control of the dark hats. And it will free up those resources. It will free up free technology, free energies. And you see Dr. Keshe coming forward now quite bravely with his free energy devices. And most assuredly, the fact that he is still alive, the fact that he is able to speak of these things in public and put out this device tells you you are in a brand new era. And so be joyful. And know that Nisara is not only for this particular nation in which we speak now. It is for the entire world. And it will perhaps begin in the United States and other developed countries, but soon spread outward. And there will be humanitarian funds and environmental cleanup and much occurring new healing technologies, honest and real education, not merely social brainwashing, and many, many new forms which will light the way for humankind to determine its own day-to-day life and its own future. And this will be a very, very new construct indeed.
Wonderful. Would you,
Caroline,
like
to... I have someone has written a question. What do we as individuals or as light workers, where do we have to be consciously and in our evolution for that to happen? And how can we assist in getting not only ourselves, but other people to that place?
Well, this is, we would say, both an inner and an outer journey. And we spoke of contacting one's politicians, or as the Lady Master said the other day, put in the comment field when one is signing a petition, say, enact Nisara now. And it is partly a matter of making phone calls and writing emails and requiring this of those who are governing you or pretending to govern you, including those who answer to the dark hats. But we would say that 80 to 90% of it is accomplished inwardly. And this comes again with realizing we are all light, we are all energy, and that it is a matter of living from the heart. And the more each individual becomes empowered to live from the heart and to meditate each morning, speak with your guides, speak with your angelic guardians and your higher self. They are, as it is called, your support team. And sit quietly and speak with them before you run off to begin your day and say, what is it that I need to know? And if I do not hear you clearly, make it clear to me. Send this information to me on an energy level, or send it to me as infused thought, or let the information reach me throughout my day in some way that I hear something in conversation and it just rings a bell inwardly, or I read something online and it just rings true and I wake up. And let it be that moment of waking from the dream, the very bad dream of hazing images and unsure feelings and not knowing who is in the shadows, and just determine inwardly, I am awakening now. And my consciousness is moving into the heart. And my heart is taking on divine love and divine light, growing ever brighter every day. And we would say that there is a simple exercise for grounding oneself, which you have all heard of, no doubt, which is to see a great divine pillar of golden light to come from down from the great central sun of Alcyon, and see the pillar of light travel straight down into your body. And it enters through the crown chakra of the head, and it lights up your spinal column. And so you know that your neurological and central nervous system is being powerfully affected. All of your energy bodies and physical body is being powerfully affected. And then this divine golden light column continues straight into the center of the earth, straight into inner earth, and meets there with the great crystals. And catches, you might say, catches some fire, catches some extra energy from the crystalline energy grid, which spreads out into the entire planet. And know that that light is sentient. It is not merely the sort of light that lights up the room, but it has knowledge of you and it has love for you. And it is joyfully received by that crystalline energy grid, which is further enacted and empowered, and spreads that light spreads out all over the world. and then it comes back up again, back up through the earth, back up through your body, and up through your crown chakra and back to the great central sun. And as it does this, it fills your heart with great, powerful light. And you can imagine that light growing ever brighter and spreading out from your body further and further until it takes in your entire town, your entire state or country, the continent you live in, then the entire earth and beyond. And what you have done in that moment is you have grounded yourself to the earth. You have reintroduced your energies to the earth, and the earth reintroduced the earth's beauty and her power to your energies. You have grounded yourself. And yet you have also anchored this beautiful divine light from above. And that is the light that is transforming human consciousness and lifting the earth into the fifth dimension. And indeed, her consciousness is there. Her consciousness is in the fifth dimension. She is still, unfortunately, at the mercy somewhat of the old third dimensional paradigm, but that is increasingly an illusion that is dissolving, as we say. And so this begins in the heart. And this is not to denigrate or to downgrade the importance of outer action, but we would say to live by the heart and to think in terms of divine light and divine love is exceedingly important. And the only other things that we would add is to forgive everyone you can think of forgiving. Forgive the system you live in. Forgive everyone.
That leads into... Oh, okay. That leads into, for anyone that wants to buy your Ascension Manual, because that leads into manifesting in the outer form.
Indeed,
that sounds
yes.
like what you're addressing, right, Caroline?
Indeed, yes. This is addressed in the Ascension Manual, both in terms of using light and energy to create that which you wish to create, outer forms, such as whether it is money or a new job or some other new situation. And it is used also to raise one's consciousness. But it is a conscious working with light. It is a conscious working with the sort of divine sparkling particles of energy and understanding that you are part of this creation process. You are not separate from it.
So what is the purpose of the Ascension Manual series?
Well, this is simply another way, another form, in addition to interviews such as this, and in addition to the blog, to introduce the energies to many light workers who will be aided by them, as well as to offer words of comfort and support. Many are finding old jobs or old locations of their home, old relationships, things that have been in their lives perhaps for decades, perhaps for only a month. But they are finding that their energy, their vibration, as it were, is increasing and raising exponentially so quickly to the point where many of the old things just don't fit anymore. And so it is a matter of creating a bridge, as our writer says, between the third and the fifth dimensions, so that this may be some of the discomfort, some of the surprises, some of the jolts along the way can be eased a bit, and so that many light workers will know that they are not alone, and that others have ascended before them. And it sort of somewhat takes the practical aspects of leaving behind the third dimension, whether it's objects or ways of doing business, ways of thinking about money and work, or ways of thinking about relationships and family, etc., and looking at those old forms and finding a way to move beyond them in as much comfort and grace and ease as possible.
Now, can I ask if a request comes to the writer for a reading from the collective, is that possible?
Most assuredly, yes. Okay. Again, if you wish, the easiest way is to go to Caroline Oceana, spelled like ocean with the A at the end, Ryan, RYAN.com, and go there to the section that says Ask the Collective. You will see it on the left. Click onto that, and that has all the information you need. And once indication is given, we do request a donation, as our writer does need to pay her rent, as it were. Once that indication is given from the email and whatnot that the donation has been made, she then contacts the person via email, or they may contact her and present the questions if in a written reading or for a phone reading. They will schedule a session for phone. For those who live outside the United States, Skype is sometimes a better option.
I agree. Any more phone calls?
Not at this time. I do know that our normal people will really want to know as much as they can about how to, because one of the questions that has come in is if we, Amina was saying, can we ascend and still be here? And how will family members know if we have ascended or if we've not? I mean, if we have done that, it's like, remember people talking about, well, two can be walking in the field and suddenly one's not there. But the possibility remains that we can be in both places.
Well, this, of course, would be multidimensional or interdimensional travel, and this is possible. Understand that many millions are going through this. Many millions have questions. What about my child? What about my partner? Will they also ascend? What about my favorite brother or sister? And it is exceedingly important to remember that the first law of love in terms of your connection to another is to allow the other their path, to remain at peace, to remain calm, and to remember that if this person's soul has not yet chosen to ascend, that they will be in a third dimensional phase, you might say, of the earth, a third dimensional earth aspect, which you as an ascending person will increasingly move out of. And so you will find some person somewhat fading from your life. And in some cases, you will elect to somewhat forget them. And this will not feel to be a tragedy, because on a soul level, your love will still be with them. Now, there will be some, of course, who refuse to forget those who they love, who have not ascended, and that is fine. But consider that each time a person leaves the dimension in which they are living to move up to a higher dimension, the love remains, and they still visit those they love, even if those they love do not see them. And we speak in this case, of course, of those who have transitioned in, out of the physical and returned to the spirit. And so you have felt, perhaps, at a family gathering, you may have smelled the perfume of an aunt or a grandmother who has passed, or the pipe tobacco of a grandfather who has passed. You are not at all far from them. You are, in fact, in some respects, in the same place, but they now vibrate at a level at which you cannot see them. Now, could someone choose to lower themselves back down to the third dimension? And we would say that it is unlikely that having ascended, you would then want to take on the density of the third dimensional physical form once again. It would be up entirely up to the individual soul. But we would say more that you would say after someone has ascended or left the body, transitioned, you would more likely speak with them in a dream or feel their presence. And it is not so much a separation physically as it is a separation in consciousness and vibration. And you must allow this. It would be impossible to say all the vibrations, all the dimensions need to be in one place so that I'm constantly with the one I love. Think perhaps, in other words, of your twin flame. It is unlikely for most people that their twin flame is incarnate upon the earth at the same time that they are. This does not mean that they are separate from their twin flame. They still experience that person. It is a question of them being conscious of the experience, of choosing to be conscious of the experience, of speaking to the twin flame and saying, speak to me, I wish to know you better. I wish to know when you were in the room with me, even though you vibrate at such a high frequency, I cannot physically see you. I would like to see you in my mind's eye. I would like to know and feel that you were there. And so we leave it up to each individual regarding what they will experience from one aspect or one dimension to another. But do not ask to drag with you, as it were, things and people and ideas from the third dimension, for you have already elected to move beyond this.
I agree.
Is there anybody on the team here that would like to ask a question?
Yes, indeedy.
All right.
All right.
I was feeling that.
You were feeling that. Well, we're so happy to have both of you with us. Amina, I love to have you come every 3 weeks, and you bring so much to the table, and I'm enjoying this guest very much.
Thank you.
Many thanks, friend.
I had an experience that was very odd, and it's been a couple of months now, but it continues to play in my head as to what was happening there. And it was in a casino, and it was later in the evening, and I was leaving for the garage with a friend of mine on an electronic walkway, and we didn't have anyone around us. And all of a sudden, we heard a gentleman speaking, and he was speaking in English. We couldn't quite make out the words, the conversation, but it was a one-sided conversation. There wasn't anyone speaking with him or to him. And we looked down, both of us, as we're on this walkway, thinking it seemed to be coming from beneath us, but we were on an electronic walkway. We both instinctively went for our cell phones to see if we had, like, accidentally hit some kind of, you know, conversation, you know, pocket dialed something, nothing. And we both leaned down close to this metal walkway to hear the voice more closely because it was below us. And of course, there was nothing there, but we heard him. It was just so unusual. And I felt like this is some kind of a portal that we've walked into, but it's a moving portal. Could you speak to this?
Well, we would say to be aware that there are electronic frequencies now that are behaving very differently from however they have behaved in the past. And so you will indeed pick up on sometimes disembodied voices or images out of the corner of the eye. And these are perhaps visits from other dimensions. They may indeed be ghosts at times, but do not be surprised. Do not be shocked. We are glad that you thought first to ensure that it wasn't a matter of cell phones or whatnot, and that you remain grounded in your response. And the Lady Master Omina will probably shed more light. But we would say that it was a matter of frequencies, and this voice came in on a particular electronic frequency, which was that conveyor belt. And this is not unusual. It happens perhaps more often than people are aware, but that you have tuned it out. You have very greatly tuned it out. But you can understand now, with the electromagnetic frequencies shifting so powerfully upon the Earth, that a great deal is happening in terms of how third-dimensional electronic devices are behaving. And people have had a great deal of trouble some days with their computers, with their internet, with their televisions, etc., and radio transmissions. Sometimes there is interference. Sometimes this is because a signal is coming in from, as they say, from outer space, sometimes from another dimension, a sort of bleed through it, as it were. And so this would be nothing to be concerned of, but this would, we believe, be one of those cases. We are doubting it was a tiny man inside the
Can I add something to that I'm getting about it?
Most assuredly, Lady.
Kathy, what I'm getting about it is that this was someone that recently passed over and was lost.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And trying to find their way. I would suggest if you ever experience it again, just tell them to go towards the light. Yeah, this was a male. Sure. This was a male that had passed recently, and it was sudden, and didn't know where he was.
Yes.
Interesting. Thank you for sharing that. That truly was, I just felt like I was in a portal or something. And of course, I wasn't frightened by it. But my friend, I would have expected him to be, but he wasn't either. We were just very curious.
Mm. Yes, yes. And you will hear this, you will experience this, and do not be alarmed. And as Lady Master said, it was a disembodied presence, and this will occur. And just do not be troubled by it. But right. This is excellent advice to say, to send the person toward the light. Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Caroline, this is Marita again. I have an organic farm here, and there's a very powerful energy vortex here. We were told many, many years ago, well, in the etheric, I've seen the medicine wheel, and you can feel as you walk in, if you put your hands out, you know, where each one of the rings is. But at the vortex, we were told it was an interdimensional doorway. So we always thought our first impression was it was like, so for the UFOs or for the dimensional that way. And then later, our understanding was it was an inner dimensional instead of an inner, like it was for that goes into the earth. Can you give us some enlightenment on what this is and maybe how we can continue to use it to the best advantage?
And so this is, you are saying this was a medicine wheel constructed upon your farm, or one which to which you were drawn to that particular, the energy of that particular space, and you constructed the medicine wheel. Is this correct? Or this is something that existed before you were there? And
no,
you were told about
what,
it.
What we found was the where the energy vortex was. We have a lot of deer, and you know the deer will come and lay around that area, and it's a really powerful vortex. In the etheric, I have seen a medicine wheel that used to be there.
Well, you have quite profound vision, because many people would have picked up on the feeling and noticed the animal's reactions. Some would have brushed it off, and many would have taken it in as interesting, and others would have responded intuitively, but you have actually had an image, a mental image in your mind, which is really quite remarkable. And we would say that this is, the animals are drawn to it because it is a place of purity. The vortex is sort of, it has a healing aspect, and hence the medicine wheel. Because then those who came before you, quite centuries ago, realized the healing aspect of that the energies of that particular plot of land, and you might call it a power spot, as some call it. And there is a degree to which then that particular part of the earth receives higher energies in a very great, much greater concentration than other parts of the earth. And there are different geometric reasons for that. And much of this, after Nisara, much of this learning will become commonplace, that you will understand why the pyramids were placed as they were, and why certain sacred Native American or other indigenous peoples chose their sacred sites in different places. And you'll understand why certain rituals were performed in different places. And this is actually quite a beautiful sign of people awakening, because the notion of the sacred site has been destroyed on many levels, and there has been a powerful effort to hide it from the multitudes for many centuries. But you notice that people are increasingly drawn to it now. There's very nearly a sort of tourist trend to go to power spots and vortex sites. And so we would simply say this is a beautiful spot of healing, and that you were naturally drawn to it intuitively, and that you had planned this on a higher level, and that you had probably been to many other places and understand as well, and other similar places, and understand as well that your energies add into the mix, as it were, and that you are a facilitator of healing, and you are a facilitator of natural growth and purification. And so there is great beauty in that vision, and that is quite an encouragement to hear of light workers having these experiences.
Well, we are grateful to have it on the property, and my husband's the one who actually found it and began observing it, and we've had a center here and have shared it with many, many people. So I just thought if there was something that you had an awareness of, that how we could use it even to greater advantage, we would be happy to do that.
Well, most assuredly, in good weather, if you wish to have groups of people come out and sit in a circle and put anyone who desires healing or any sort of renewal in their life, and you need not know what the trouble is, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, you need not know the specifics. Merely they would say, would you send me light? Would you send me the highest frequency of divine love that you can imagine? And then imagine the divine golden light, this pillar of light coming down from the great central sun, or if you prefer, from a file of angels, or from an archangel. Choose an image that you are happy and comfortable with. And imagine that light coming down, and as this person sits in a circle, and perhaps have a drum circle, or have someone playing flute, so that there is in the air the resonance, the frequency of light, and of a high and fine vibration. And then everyone image that person utterly, utterly free of illness or density of any kind. And not so as to wish them out of their body, of course, but to create a higher frequency in whatever level at which they are feeling, experiencing density and difficulty. And so it can be used very, very beautifully. If you wish merely to lie upon the ground in pleasant weather and absorb healing and renewal, you may also at that point find it far more easy to speak with your guides, with your angels, with your loved ones who have passed on, because these can somewhat work as portals as well.
You may meet with a great healer.
Yes, Lady Master.
Can you build on a vortex?
we would be very careful regarding what is built on a vortex. And we would seek the wise counsel of a shaman who is learned in the particular locale, the sacred sites of a particular locale.
Right.
We would say that there have been many buildings built by the dark hats upon the earth in places at which there was great confusion and great violence and great fear because they wished to capitalize on those energies. And there have likewise been beautiful buildings and fountains and outer structures, gardens and whatnot, built in places of the sacred sites, which have been able to retain their physical structure, their physical integrity. But at present, we would not say, for instance, chop down any new trees to build a new structure in that place. We would use only natural materials that already exist, such as a branch that has fallen off of a tree, or rocks, or seashells. We would only build using completely natural materials, which have not been the result of any form of destruction. And we would only build, as we say, at the wise advice of one who understands the sort of structure that should be built there. And so it should be perhaps an impermanent structure, perhaps only, as they say, the gazebo, sort of only the roof without the walls. And even then, understand that it is a symbolic sort of block between where you sit upon the ground and the higher energies pouring down from the higher realms. So we would say to perhaps build a circle of rocks, perhaps to plant certain flowers, certain seeds and certain flowers, but not to disturb the natural form at present.
Thanks. Well, we have a few flowers that are right around the rocks, and we've a couple times we've done a sweat lodge back there very close to that. So
yes,
that all seems to fit with what you're saying.
Most assuredly, a sweat lodge would be an impermanent structure. And that is why, that is one reason why they are so perfect for sacred ritual, because they can be deconstructed or moved or what have you. And they are made generally of natural materials, or should be. And mm-hmm. So that is wonderful. That is quite a brilliant light that you are emanating out into the world.
Wonderful. We are at the end of our hour here. What would you like to leave the group with? Do you want to go over your website and the name of your book and anything else, your email, just to remind people so that they will be able to stay in touch?
Most assuredly, yes. We will bring our writer back for you, and we send you great love, and we are exceedingly honored to have been here, and many thanks and divine love and light to you all, and namaste.
And we are grateful to the collective.
Thank you, Lady Master. So, okay, yeah, this is Caroline.
Well, Caroline, it definitely has been a pleasure having you on and giving us all great information. As Marita said, to repeat your contact information if people want to get a hold of you.
Wonderful. Well, I hugely appreciate it, and I'm so thrilled. I mean, I listen to the show every week, and I'm beyond thrilled to have been asked, you know, to participate. So I have to thank Omina for that, and Marita and everyone as well. But it's just, my email is Ascension Times, which is just ASCENSION Times @gmail.com. Or if it's easier, you can just email me at CarolineRyan999@gmail.com, if that's easier to remember. CarolineRyan999@gmail.com. If you are interested in, if anybody's interested in a live channeling or written channeling or what have you, just go to Caroline Oceana, which is just ocean with an A at the end. Ryan, like the boy's name, like Ryan Gosling.
Whoops.
We lost you.
Hello?
Hello, we lost you. What happened?
Caroline.
Can you hear me all right?
Now you're back.
Okay. This is what they were saying about things being a little wacky.
It's your vibration, my darling. Thank you so much.
That's so funny. But no, I was just going to say, if you go to CarolineOceanaRyan.com and click on Ask the Collective, and if you don't have any dough, tell me. Just send me a couple questions. In fact, anybody who hasn't done this yet, send me one question, and the collective are happy to answer it. No donation needed, you know? And if you're in desperate straits and you need an answer to a few questions, then send them to me. Don't worry about it, you know, and send me $10 when you can, kind of a thing. But they're really here to serve people, and I'm honored that so many people are helped by them, which is just mind-blowing to me. And, you know, thank you so much.
Well, we are so grateful that Amina, excuse me.
Yes. No, I just want to thank
has
you, Caroline.
Found you, and we invite you to come back. And if you have, if we haven't invited you, and you feel the urge and the push to do that, why just make sure you write me at Stargate Marita, M-A-R-I-E-T-T-A at Gmail.
Oh, fantastic! Thank you so much, Marita, and thank you so much, Omina. And I just want to repeat: the name of the book is The Ascension Manual, and this is only part one. So part two, you can find it in the Kindle store, and part two of the Ascension Manual will be out either in December or January. I'm doing a lot of webinars, so I'm behind in channeling this next
okay.
one. But I mean, thank you both so much. I'm just in awe of you both, and of course everyone else on the call, and Tara and Rama, and it means the world to me. I can't even tell you. Thank you.
Well, we're delighted.
We will take a musical break here, and and then we'll come back, and Tara and Rama will have, unless Tara, you want to go right on, without a break. What's your choice?
I was thinking we could do that. And I was just going to say to Caroline, that, this recording today, because, you know, we hear ourselves all the time giving instructions about Nisara for you to bring the collective energy through. And thank you, Almina, for asking that question. I think this would be an awesome, awesome radio show to pass everywhere. If anybody wants to know about all these things, I just want to say that it was so right there. Everybody could feel the energy pulse of this energy that we here as a collective have connected to allow this kind of collective to come through and address us. Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Caroline and Almina.
Oh, my pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I will be in touch with all of you.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
So Tara, do you want to take a musical break, or do you want to go right on into your section next?
Well, I was thinking to go on because we want to play some more of Dr. Keshe. And talking about these two realms merging, leave it to Dr. Keshe to continue the vibration. So let's just do that. Okay.
You go right ahead.
Good night, everybody. I'm leaving.
All
good
right.
Night, Almina. See you
night,
next
Almina.
Time.
Good night, Almina. Thank
yes.
you.
Come
good
back
night.
Again, Caroline.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much.
Namaste.
Good night.
Namaste.
Good night.
All right. Okay. Well, that's why I was asking you if it was up to par. I was just going to say the vibrations just took another quantum leap. Well, we did just now just brought that vibration of bringing the Sara in. Hello?
No.
Oh. Oh, okay. I do. Okay. Rama's getting ready to pull it up. Okay. He's going to bring it to the place. Yeah, 1 hour and 15 minutes. Or just slightly before that, if you want. I was just going to say this. I can't thank this. This energy that we have all brought together, this is what it's supposed to be. And I just felt so reassured to hear the collective say, you know, don't worry, be happy. We're going to a cashless society. Hip, hip, hooray. And the vibrational patterns of Nasara at a much higher level than Where's the Money has just made that shift greater, because the flow of cash is matching now the vibrational energy frequencies with which we can accomplish the next step. And so that changes everything, including climate change. It brings the climate to a higher divine reassessment of Earth in heaven.
And I just wanted to say that he speaks about the plasma energy as a sentient, intelligent source of energy. You ask it to bring in what you want. It will grow it for you. He talks about you want rice, ask the plasma. It will grow you rice.
Yes, that this technology, this plasma energy is sentient. And I thought I heard the collective say that too, that with Kathy's question, that there are technologies now that are sentient so that they can actually manifest through a voice or whatever else. And so, and remember, everything's a miracle and there are no miracles. Computer hot fudge Sunday. Oh my goodness, Rama. Okay. So this is the 80th Knowledge Seekers Workshop that we began the first hour and a quarter last Saturday from September 24th. Okay. And we'll continue now. What's going on here? Okay, Marita, we love you, whatever is necessary. Sweet dreams as needed. Okay. Okay, here we go, Commander.
The Psi unit. The unit for the plasma to release, it works on the basis of a need and demand. If you create a need, as plasma is just and correct, it tries to satisfy that need. So what happens with the frequency of 50 hertz, 60 hertz, the plasma comes to meet the negative or the positive to create its own balance. So in that point, it releases its energy. So there is no kilowatt hours involved. You can use it 20, 30 kilowatt hours, whatever, we don't know. You tell us. You don't have this limitation of you have a 10 kilowatt hour, you have a 2 kilowatt hour. Is the response of plasma to operation. With the resistive units, this does not exist because the energy has to be a step down to become matter state. Because even the matter is a plasma, and in a strength like this, matter state is here, releasing plasma in here. We have to find, in the nature, it takes thousands of years to reduce to this. We have to develop a technology that we can do it in a very rapid way in reverse, or break it up that it can be done, or mask it that the system sees the resistor as a load with sequence and consequence. Then we can download it. At the moment, all the lights, fridge freezers, anything you have in the house, except the handrails and the heating, we can see up to 60% reduction. It's one system we have to put in. So if your heater uses 100 kilowatts, or let's say a normal 2 kilowatts, you will see on your meter 0.8, 0.9 kilowatt usage. And what we are doing, we're trying to eliminate this as well. But in eliminating this, we see an advantage in being able to excite the plasma to release more, that by releasing more, we'll overcome this too. It's just a development. We are getting there, we're testing. But in a way, 70-80% of your bill at home will be gone. And in a very short time, it'll be a total zero parity. We've seen it in our system, but we are exploring different ways to do it. So the power generators will go to Africa to start with, the Europeans have to be in the hand of the power supply till we find, or the governments find, the solution economically to balance the books. I have advised a couple of nations in the past few time, the only way to bring the books back in order is very simple. The way they tax your car, they will tax property for energy, food, and the rest. Don't forget, you will not go to supermarket to shop much. You will not go to buy or consume heating. You will not tank the fuel that much. So the estimated loss of revenue for the governments from 16th of October is about 80% reduction in revenue through taxation of most of the things. Because don't forget, when you don't buy, there is no 20%, 21% added tax on, as it is normal in the rest of the world. On the other hand, this brings a new ethos of Keshe Foundation. I don't work, I have no income, but I have everything I need. Heat, food, clothing I can make myself. As we've seen, the scientists in Washington University, they confirm they can use a gas of CO2 to make fabrics that it can be heat resistant, you can do whatever you like with it. Then I have a spare time to give to my community, to my nation. Where do I clean? Where do I look after children? Where I teach? And where I can do something, because I'm bored, I have everything I want. The game has changed. Man, from the time of cave, has forever chased food, and then heat, and then shelter. And in fact, with a small unit like this, now you have everything. So he doesn't need to be a slave to no one, and no one shall be master. From now on, we serve because we want to, we serve because we have the pleasure to see the beauty of our work in the hand of the others. As I said to you, you can do whatever you like with it. You can kick it, you can play football with it, bring it home and connect it, it still gives you energy. Mm-hmm. It's absolute, total, solid state, and it's absolute, total plasma technology. You put matter in there, it won't work. The more plasma you put in there, the more you get out. So, let us see how we can bring mankind together through the development of this technology. This industrial revolution, this plasma revolution, has no alternative but bringing man to the equal point of respect and peace. Because everything you need, you can have. And you can even, from the plasma, make, let's say, rice, make meat, the way you like it to taste and feel. So, you don't need to go to the butcher. You don't need to kill another animal to feed yourself. This is the beauty of the technology. Wow. This is a golden time for the vegetarians. You have the energy without harming no one, without killing another being to satisfy the need of your own energy. It's the same with the governments. I told you by 21st of October, or September, I will change. I'll bring a change that you will see. And all of you, the way I told you, you thought we're going to bring a satellite, we're going to bring something down to show the power. This is the satellite, and the power of nations has been brought down without shooting a single bullet. Mm-hmm. We changed the course of humanity in a correct way, in a peaceful way, without harming no one. Why should I bring a satellite down where I promote peace? Why should I stop a naval officer in his path? Very good, have worries for his life. and his children. I've delivered my promise. It's you to deliver yours. I do not fire a single fire, but in time we have to distract you because human race is that way. Needs to be distracted for him to see the beauty of what is about to receive. If you want, you can have. And I told you, the best thing for the government is from now on to keep me alive and poison me to kill me, because the more I say, the more easier system, better system they can have from my knowledge. Because what we've seen in the past few weeks, the stopping the teaching of the foundation has brought nothing but more people wanting to know, and more people doing it and spreading it. In time, we will respond the correct way. One of my main concerns today has been for the past 2 or 3 days, more than the technology, has been the life of one of the Keshe Nation core teams who's in hospital in Dubai. We try everything to save his life, and if he succeeds, we hopefully can bring him back to be amongst us, and that's better than you. Any question?
Thank you, Mr. Keshe. Let's see. That answers the question about the, do incandescent light bulbs work on the power supply?
Pardon?
There was a question about, do incandescent light bulbs work on the power supply? But that answers that. Yeah, regular light bulbs.
Yes, we have tried.
Oh, they do?
Already low resistance. You don't see it much. But I warn you something very clearly. Once you plug your system, do not disturb the system. Get a blanket, buy new covers for your lights, because the system goes backwards. So once you add the system, forget about taking it off the grid. So your problem from now on is not how to keep the light on, it's how to keep it dark that it doesn't stay on all day. I think it'll be fashionable new, nano-coated blinds for the lights, that you don't get it lit. You'll understand when you get it. You will see. You have to create the demand, and the more you create the demand, the more the system delivers, and it doesn't like to go down. We've seen that with 129. The 129 Tesla system in the Sansano, we saw the more this other systems put a demand on it, it went from 10, 20, 30, 40, to 129. But bringing it down is very impossibility, because it already has made a path for itself.
Has there been any motor used to get the plasma in the power unit started? Or will simple nano-coated spirals have the same effect to create the Magrav?
My lips are sealed. We have told you, if you want to do it, you do it. If you want to see my system, you have to. I'm sure you get the same from the Philippine people. On the 16th, with the beauty working with Renan and the team of the Philippine team is they are loyal, they are committed to peace the same as we do. They think and work exactly the same as the ethos of the Keshe Foundation. So you have no worries who's going to do something or show something. Even the manufacturing team here in Europe works exactly the same. They do not want to be seen, they do not want to be in front line. They just want to be able to produce, to deliver, to change the course of humanity. We have found the same type of minded people as we. Peaceful, effective, and at the same time, very, very systematic to deliver the technology. You see the people who are the ambassadors of the foundation, they behave exactly the same. because we know we can achieve and reach whatever we like, whenever we like, the way we like.
Mr. Keshe, there's one thing about that. For example, there's a question in the live stream. EC says, I met somebody who invested in a small hydropower plant of less than 1 megawatt, but it has to be rebuilt after rework of the river. So what advice can I give? Will the KF release big power generators or big power generation capability? Or do you prefer to stay with a small-scale individual units for the home?
I think you haven't understood. These systems built correctly, assembled correctly in a sequential manner, can deliver 100 kilowatts, a megawatt, easily. You don't have limitation. The limitation in a matter state is irrelevant, as I said from the beginning. The plasma delivers power that you're not worried about the vibration of kilowatts in vibration of the electron. We see as you demand, it'll deliver. You can set up three-phase. We are testing a three-phase system for temporarily powering industrial units. It's very easy to produce three-phase system on this. It was tested yesterday, and it came exactly as we were expecting on the three-phase. We see the alternation. We see the control of the plasma. We understand the control of the plasma. What's happening here? It's a lot of women shouting. Excuse me, it's a teaching going on. And the women, they can bring your whole nation now.
Was there a medical emergency or something?
It was chit-chat about their nails, I think.
Well, that's a medical emergency.
It is medical for them. We're going to live with them. We can't live without them. So somehow we cope with it. I presume they do the same with us. Okay, carry on asking.
Okay, what else we have there, Key?
I think the Seaman event out, he got them excited. Now his back is quiet. Carry on.
There is a question, can we use a heat pump on the power supply? If the heat pump is an inductive unit, not just the heat element like in a stove.
I don't know. We never tried it. You will try it. You tell us.
Okay.
Don't forget, our target has been to deliver energy unit through plasma technology. So now you have to find different ways of converting the plasma to a matter state at any state you like. I have developed a technology in the past 24 hours that, if it's correct, soon we will test it, is that you can use units while they're operating to create food without any additional positioning, which means you do not need to go to subdivision to create and transfer the energy. There is a way. I was up about 3 o'clock this morning trying to complete it. Hopefully we test it in the coming days. That you can use the power unit as a feeder of energy at all levels wirelessly. We've done that with the power. We know how to transfer power without wire. This is something which you will come to see in the coming days. We have managed to, for example, transfer energy from the core to outside without any wire at the same strength. It doesn't diminish in the strength as we go. So in the coming weeks, you will find out there is no need for wiring. There is no need. Excuse me, can you ask the girls to keep quiet there? No, thanks God. They're sitting at the door. I don't know, we never seen them, they just appeared out of somewhere. So what happens is that I explained this in the teaching yesterday or the day before, and it's an extension to the same teaching, but in delivering the technology, we can place this new way, if it works, which I think most does, that we can put one power unit as it is, instead of converting its plasma, to energy, we transmit its plasma as power, as food. So you can put this, for example, in the middle of a village. If you want to eat, you eat. But if you want to take plasma and you have no food, hunger time, drought time, everybody lives a normal life and they take the energy from it. Don't forget, this is how you'll be fed in a space.
Mr. Keshe, there's a question about that that might be relevant that you can probably answer, which is Mika asks or suggests that for the physical body situation, fresh food is what gives the highest plasma state. And to not eat meat, it drops down the energy level, but that fresh food is what gives the highest
energy. You want the fresh plasma? No problem.
Well, this is the issue would be a lot of, you know, vegetarian people out there or people that are into fresh foods, organic foods and all this kind of thing. But what you're suggesting is a more direct way. It's a plasma to plasma interaction rather than a plasma or rather than a matter conversion to GANS, conversion to plasma inside the body. And then back into GANS and matter to be excreted from the body. You're talking about avoiding that whole process and going direct from plasma to plasma as the way of feeding. Is that correct?
That's what we've been teaching the past couple of weeks. Today we are back. I'm not talking about that. We taught it and we know what it should be done. And we have seen if Alex comes on later on today, and I know he's teaching tomorrow, we'll explain this because this was the part which was left with Alex. He was here last week, and within a matter of a couple of days, he could translate the knowledge into working units of producing matter at any point and transferring energy without full energy, physical matter being consumed. This is the beauty when you work with what the advanced thinking scientists like Alex in the plasma, and he sees things in a different way. We have a number of people like this around the foundation, so he will do it. This is his job. We tell you he's there. He will explain it to you. He will teach you today or tomorrow in Alex's teaching and his presentation. It'll show you exactly how you transfer energy of food from the plasma, from what you call the coils, directly as a food energy to yourself or to your body or to whatever, to water, and step further directly absorbing it. He did a test on himself and he got himself drunk by not even touching an alcohol and just by drinking water. And as I said, we've done this before, 4 or 5 years ago. It's done through a plasma conformation. This is not something theory. It's actually, he's there. Is Alex in the background? Do you see him or is he still asleep? He's become like Armin. He is American time, but he lives in London. He sleeps during the day till 12, 1 o'clock and researches during the night.
I don't see him there right now, Mr. Keshe.
Forget about the picture of him with Kevin Davenant pretending to be him.
Yeah, right. Mika goes on to say that the fresh air is also important for for the physical body for energy, but also radiant energy. And he was wondering if you could speak to that at all. What is the source of radiant energy, or is that a...
The whole breathing process is a conversion of the energy of what we call nitrogen and hydrogen in the body of the man, that it can, at high level, feed the blood, that it touches the emotion. If you go back to the visual teaching of the Foundation some months ago on the health section, we explained that the lungs are for the releasing energy for emotional part of the brain, and your intestine is releasing energy for your physical part of your brain. So when we can deliver energy for you that you don't feel hungry, it should be no problem for you to understand. We can deliver the energy as your lungs do for your emotional part. So in so many ways, the same process applies in both sides. You don't need to breathe. What's the fresh air? Fresh air is most probably a better mixture of plasma's energy that it can touch the blood to deliver its energy. Now, the system continuously sends the full spectrum. The problem, if you don't understand it, is this. Or the beauty is this. It's not a problem. Next door to us, in the same floor, we have an office where outside in the yard of this environment, we have a huge number of solar cell panels for energy production. And when you go into the room, the control room, there is a computer, and this computer does this. Zero time at night, 24 hours is calibrated. What it does, like till 9, 10 o'clock, whatever, there is no energy, it comes up and the energy goes like this and it goes quiet. Because this is the time when the sun releases energy on the panels, you get it. The same thing goes with the body of man. In the body of man, you have a spectrum, you call it the energy which is absorbed from your lungs. You have a spectrum, energy absorbed for your intestines. You have an energy bracket which you need to be equal to iron. You have an energy which you need to be in the structure of the calcium. So there are different orders that you can see that are not all the same height. So now, every food you eat covers, has the energy of some of these that it can supply it. Some of them may be much stronger. Now what happened with the plasma? You have a very bad thing. The thing is, with the plasma technology from this unit, you deliver a full spectrum all the time. So your body takes from it what it needs at a time it needs. Alex will tell you, I wish he was awake. He makes you laugh when he talks to you that way. I told you yesterday in the teaching. I told him, put a banana and see if the reactor will give you the taste of banana in the water. So he done it, he received it, he could do it. Now what he did, being him delivering some further development, he has done with an orange, banana, and some leaves, which create alcoholic behavior to make you drunk. So he will tell you.
Mr. Keshe, I hear a voice in the background here. I think.
Yeah, I'm there. Just come back.
I think a hungover voice.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Mr. Keshe.
Come on, tell us what you've done, how you got yourself drunk with no alcohol.
I made nano ganses of fruits, and I sprayed it one after the other on the springs, and then I used it on my reactor, and then I placed a bottle of water close to it, and then when I drank it, I got drunk.
Would you like to tell us about your orange and banana experience?
Yes, same thing. If you put, if you get the nano of, if you get a nano guns of any fruit and spray it on the spring reactor, and just place a bottle of water close to it, you're going to have the taste and then the feeling of whatever you put in it.
So what you did with the orange and what you did with banana? You have to explain to us.
Okay. I did a CO2 kit. I mean, CO2 capture kit. I placed a banana on top of it. And then I got the ganses of CO2. And then I coated the ganses. And then I sprayed the ganses on the spray reactor. And then I put a bottle of water close to it, and when I drank it, I could taste orange. I could taste any of the fruits I put in it. Because I did a lot of fruits. I did banana, I did orange, I did tomatoes. The tomatoes I harvested from my plasma garden.
Have you tried your hot dog yet?
Not yet, but I've tried rice and chicken stew. Chicken stew.
Yeah, well, how did it taste?
Really good, really good. And then you feel full all day long. I think it's better with cooked food. If you put cooked food on top of your bottle and place it on the reactor, it's better.
I think you better make a video of it and show us in your tomorrow's teaching.
Okay, I'm making a presentation in a way.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't see it. Thank you very much for Alex.
All right, Mr. Keshe.
Thank you. Alex is here with us on the 12th of October, and he flies directly to Ghana to deliver the power unit to the Ghanaian president. To Nigeria, sir. Actually, he's supposed to go to Ghana, Nigeria. We're trying to get, if somebody goes to Ghana, he doesn't need to do, but he goes to give a unit to Benjamin and carry on to Nigeria. Unless somebody wants to take one unit to Nigeria or to Ghana?
Yeah, but I'll take it to Nigeria because I bought my ticket already. I'll take it to Nigeria and then I spoke with Ben. He's coming to pick it up in Lagos.
Ah, okay. Done. This one. And Benjamin and Alex are responsible for how they decide to develop and spread the technology in Africa. And so they organize it themselves how they say to do it. If you are connected to any government, if you are close to any president or prime minister of a nation, that you can deliver a unit directly in their hand, not that you know somebody that knows someone, you can write to the Keshe Foundation and we make a facility for you to pick one up. We rely on your honesty to take it back to the nation. We do our check references in the background. We just don't give it to you just because you say so. So at the same time as the ambassador receive it, so would the government store. You're laughing. What about the food? Ah, plenty of kebab. We have a delegation from Armenia who have facilitated the systems to be delivered to the president of the country. And Alban is going there next week to do it on the 16th. So they're all love kebabs. Armenians and kebabs is like air and man. One cannot live without the other. I know how it feels because I have the same habit. Next question.
Mr. Keshe, if the grid goes down, does the power unit cease to function the power of your home?
This is one of the questions which we're trying to address. Do we deliver a power generator or do we deliver a power unit? We are promoting the power unit. We stick to what we have. And in developing, extending to a generator, it can be done, but we have to see how the development goes, how we decide which way to release the technology. But by the 60s, it will be decided one way or another.
Do you think the power unit would mate somehow with, say, the Tesla battery or other people that use battery systems with a solar panel?
Why do you want to pay? I saw the Tesla.
Because when the grid goes down...
$3,500 for a battery, 10 kilowatt, if you need, and it may stay out, where you can have as much as you like for a couple of $100.
But when the grid goes down, you need to have the backup. That's the whole problem.
Oh, don't worry. There is a way to do it. We'll show it to you.
Okay.
Spend €3,000 with Tesla for a backup and buy a real unit for $200, $300.
Okay, that's enough for tonight. We'll continue this probably on Saturday some more. Yeah, 1 hour and 45 minutes, so we got that. So the next thing, we're going to play a little short bit of Dr. Nassim Haramein. This is getting very exciting, everybody. We're going to be the new science junkies of the world. Okay, ready, Rama?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. You went pretty far back. We did that already. Yeah, you can go a little bit farther forward. Oh, well, if you think we need it. Okay, that's too far now. Okay, then just start there. Okay, here we go. No. Start then.
And they didn't belong to the octahedron, and they didn't belong to the tetrahedrons that made up the outside, or the metric. So there was a bunch of these, there was four of these tetrahedrons completely out of place, creating a symmetry in the middle of symmetry. Now, I knew this had to be incomplete. Because if this was the fundamental structure of the vacuum, it had to be isotropic and symmetric so that you would have perfect equilibrium. Oh, there's an octahedron. Thank you. Ooh, nice. Cutis. Thank you. Appreciate. Q-tips with what?
Rubber
honey?
Cement.
Rubber cement. Here's an octahedron. And so when, that wouldn't melt as well. Oh, that's good. Because I used to do it with marshmallows, but then people would grab the marshmallows and eat them. And lose my mind. But anyway, so the isotropic vector metric had to be modified. I didn't know how. One thing I was sure of is that the universe is polarized, so there had to be two. Okay, now if you have a polarized universe and you have two isotropic vector metrics and they're mirroring each other, you have a problem. Because the two mirroring each other, base to base, don't make a sphere. Remember, fundamental axiom, the universe is generating spheres, right? So you don't have a sphere, you have an egg. And so now I had the chicken and an egg problem. And I was like, oh my God, what do I do with this? I didn't know what to do. But I knew it had to be two isotropic vector metrics. I didn't know what to do with these other spaces, these other tetrahedrons in the middle, neither. And you got to realize that at that point in my evolution now, I'm finishing my ski career. I got a bunch of universal 2x4s behind the head, forcing me out, telling me you got to do this full time. You ain't going to do this while teaching skiing. And at this point, I'm still doing all this without a computer. So I'm rendering these geometries in my head, and I'm trying to figure out how they fit together. Okay, I found the octahedrons in the middle and all this. And then I'm going, okay, wait a minute. I got to make this become a sphere. But I don't want to distort the geometry of the isotropic vector metric. It has to be tetrahedrons. So I'm like getting all frustrated about it. And I'm, okay, well, finally, I decided, okay, and I pushed one into the other. And I, you know, generated this in my brain. I was pushing one into the other and trying to figure out where the tetrahedrons would fall. And then that's when I realized what had happened. When you push one isotropic vector metric into the other so that you generate a perfect sphere, then the central geometry is a vector equilibrium, the only geometry in full equilibrium in all vectorial possibility. And there is no distortion because those four tetrahedrons that were in the isotropic vector matrix alone were there to accept the reverse one so that the one isotropic vector matrix was missing its better half. And when the two came together, it created equilibrium. I still get the chills from that time when I discovered this. It was like, oh my God, this is beautifully, metaphorically, and beautiful for what I'm trying to achieve. The geometry of equilibrium, the geometry of the vacuum. And I could see how the male and the females coming together generates a new point of center, a new being. Boy, that, you know, at that point, I was living in my van. I had sold everything, all my ski equipment, all my stuff. I moved into a van so I could sponsor my research. I moved down south so I wouldn't have to eat so much. And so I was doing this in my van, and I was, you know, I was so excited. I mean, this was better than sex. I mean, I didn't have a girlfriend at the time, you know. And so it was just beautiful. It was metaphorically beautiful, but in the physics of what I was trying to achieve, it was exactly going in the direction I wanted it to go. And I realized that the vector equilibrium had to be fundamental to the structure of space, of the class. Why is the vector equilibrium the only geometry in full equilibrium in all vectorial possibility? Let me show you. If you have a vector going in one direction, and that vector has a certain length, we'll call the length of the vector its force. So longer it is, stronger it is, shorter it is, weaker it is. Okay? In order to get equilibrium, you would have to have a vector in the exact opposite direction with exactly the same length. But that's a weak equilibrium because you'd have to nail that vector so that it would be a perfect alignment here. Otherwise, you would miss equilibrium. And any forces pushing down in any other direction would break the equilibrium. It's very precarious. So how would you increase stability? You'd probably add vectors at 90-degree angle from those. Now you increase equilibrium, right? However, the edge of your geometry has longer vectors than the vectors to the center. Because they're longer, they're stronger, and thus your geometry explodes. It doesn't work. What would you do to try to correct it? Probably add vectors at 45-degree angles from these other ones. But if you did that, then the edge vectors are shorter than the vectors to the center. The geometry implodes. You still don't have equilibrium. So what's the solution? The solution is the hexagon. Because the hexagon has edge vectors that are the exact same length as the vectors to the center. It's the only geometry that does that. So now you have equilibrium. And what does that look like in 3D? It looks like a vector equilibrium. This geometry here. Vector equilibrium. It's 8 tetrahedrons pointing inward. Now, this can be seen as well as 4 hexagons intersecting each other. You see that? The red one on the edge, there's a blue one at the equator, and then 2 ones intersecting in the middle. Everybody see that? There's a red one on the edge and an hexagon on the edge. Four hexagons intersecting, creating equilibrium at the center or singularity. And note that there is 12 vectors radiating from the vector equilibrium. So there's 12 vectors radiating from the center, and there's 12 edge vectors, 24 vectors. These numbers are found in most ancient civilization. 12, 24, and so on are found everywhere. The 12 angels with singularity in the middle, the 12 apostles, with Emmanuel in the middle, the singularity, and so on. The 24 elders in Kabbalistic traditions, and so on. So I was really amazed that I had found this, but my geometry was still out of equilibrium. Meaning, on this geometry of the 2 isotropic vector matrix, the vector equilibrium in the middle had all of its octahedron filled. That means that when the vector equilibrium is in the middle, the pyramidal structures are completed with octahedrons. But the edge octahedrons were incomplete, so I still had a symmetry. So I went back to the drawing board, back in my van, trying to, I've got this in my brain, and I'm noticing that some of the faces of the octahedrons are not covered. So it's asymmetric. So I decided I have to keep adding tetrahedron till I gain symmetry. So I kept on adding tetrahedron, and to cover all of the faces, I had to add 24 tetrahedrons to the ones that were already there. So this is one isotropic vector matrix is 20. The other one is 20, that's 40, plus 24. 40 plus 24 was 64 tetrahedron metric. The 64 tetrahedron metric is a match to many, many things. I'm going to give you a hint. There is 64 codons that generate the 20 amino acids of your DNA structure. Okay? Now, when I found the 64 tetrahedron grid, then I realized that that was the quanta in which symmetry was present everywhere and equilibrium was truly generated at the center. But what got me really excited is that I realized what I had built. What I had built was a fractal structure, just like the 2D fractal structure I showed you at the beginning, but this one in full 3D spherical coordinates. The only true fractal 3D spherical coordinate that you will find. Can everybody see the vector equilibrium on the inside and then the vector equilibrium on the outside? This continues to grow to infinity. And I could see that the inside vector equilibrium, its radius is exactly half the radius of the one on the outside. So the geometry grows in fractals, but not only does it grow in fractals, the fractals are perfect octants. You see? And so I got really excited. It's like, oh my God, here it is. The structure of the vacuum. Equilibrium to infinity. Infinitely big to infinitely small. And then I noticed further that how this was constructed is constructed this way. Let me see if I can let go of some of this stuff. Actually, I'm going to leave that. I realized what I had built. I had built a matrix based on 8 star tetrahedron, each having 8 tetrahedron in it. Okay? All coming together towards the center to generate the star, the 64 tetrahedron grid. But when it did, the 8 stars coming together, okay, here you're only going to see 6, so the one in front, and then there's one in the back you won't see. So the 8 stars coming together generate the vector equilibrium in the middle. Why is this significant? 8-star tetrahedron is made out of 8 tetrahedron pointing outward, radiation, coming together to generate the vector equilibrium, which is 8 tetrahedron coming towards the center, generating contraction. So now, not only did I have found the geometry of equilibrium, but I have found the only fractal 3D metric, and it generated expansion and contraction. Exactly all the axioms I had placed for myself when I started this investigation of the geometry of space.
Oh, that'll do it. This is so much fun, everybody. I hope that you're enjoying the new world we live in. Okay. I just want to talk about our unicorn friends here for a moment. So this is this gorgeous unicorn. She's way up in a forest high up, though. And what it says is her neck was long and slender, making her head seem smaller than it was, and the mane that fell almost to the middle of her back was soft fluff, and as fine as cirrus. She had pointed ears and thin legs, and the long horn above her eyes shone and shivered with its own seashell light, even in the deepest midnight. She had killed dragons with it and healed a king whose poisoned wound would not close, and knocked ripe chestnuts for bear cubs. And it says here in the back about this picture, it says, 50 years ago, as nothing was known of the unicorn's vanishing ability or of the sonar in his horn, could the devoted observer have betrayed as lovely a creature as the Austrian doe in this picture by revealing her existence and whereabouts to the trophy hunters of the word of the world? Odell Shepherd's book on the lore of unicorns in legend and mythology was first published in England in 1930. As the reader sifts through the fascinating material in lore of the unicorn, he will find clues leading to the obvious conclusion that its author believed in unicorns because he had seen one. Early in his study, Shepherd makes the statement, "Like most of my predecessors, I have hunted unicorns chiefly in libraries." The word "chiefly," meaning not exclusively, in the first clue. Later he remarks, "Whether there is or not an actual unicorn, and this is one of the questions upon which I shall merely quote the opinions of others." Why does he not give his own opinion, admirably, to protect the unicorn? Shepherd's usually controlled objective tone could not, for all his discipline, contain several outbursts revealing his true feelings as the unicorn is compared with the rhinoceros. At this point, Odell Shepherd raises his voice to defend the delicate, refined unicorn of his unconfessed yet obviously first-hand observations. Though for presenting this last bit of evidence is in one section of his study, he cunningly indicates that others, and not he, feel this resentment. He quotes Andrea Bocchi as having described the rhinoceros horn as black, thick, and vulgar, adding that Bocchi seems to have regarded the beast with contempt. Andrea Bocchi's description seems benevolent as one listens to Shepherd on the subject of the rhinoceros. As gross and mud-wallowing were not damaging enough, he refers to the nose-horned beast as ugly, grunting, slime-wallowing, lumpish, and finally deplorable. These words could only come from a man who could not bear to have the unicorn so glorious, so virtuous, so beautiful compared to an animal which, in his eyes, was the negation of the aesthetic. In conclusion, we will leave the final word on Odell Shepherd's belief in unicorns to him. Quote, "The unicorn is so credible a beast that it is difficult to understand why anyone would ever have doubted him. Compared with him, the giraffe is highly improbable. The armadillo and the anteater are unbelievable, and the hippopotamus is a nightmare. The shortest excursion into paleontology brings back a dozen animals that strain our powers of belief for more than he does." And with that, we come to this time to say inshallah. We'll see you up there on the bridge. And in your dreams, remember, the dream time is where reality is. All things exist. Love is all that is. And namaste and music maestro. See you tomorrow, everyone.